Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Joining us at this time are directors Diane Sarabuzgaru and Toma Jenko. Guys, welcome to the Big Fred Tuesday.
Thanks, hi.
Thanks, hi.
It's a pleasure for me to talk with you. We're going to be talking about your film, The Last Hillbilly, which was selected for this year's edition of IDFA. Before we start talking in more detail, could you maybe briefly introduce the film for our listeners who are not familiar with it yet?
The film is called The Last Hillbilly. It's a documentary, but it's mainly more of a film, like a cinema film. We met Brian Ritchie 7 years ago, and we were fascinated by this character, and he introduced us to his area where he lives in the Appalachian Mountains in Kentucky, and he was very eager to have us understand understand what it is to be a hillbilly in America. So hillbilly is a word that is not very famous outside of America, but there it's very much like rednecks. But the thing is that hillbilly means a person that lives in the Appalachian Mountain, and it is a concept that is very a dark concept in America. It's an insult that means all kinds of bad cliches. But Brian tried to take this word and embrace this and try to build an identity that would embrace both the downside of the cliche and also the complexity of that cliche. And so we did a film that is kind of a cinematographic experience where we are in immersion in Brian's world, both his stream of consciousness, because he writes poems, and so the film oscillates between us diving into his stream of consciousness, and we go out and we follow his path, and we meet his children, his family, his friends. So it is a film about a world that is crumbling in Kentucky, but moreover in the whole wide world. We are facing a moment where everybody feels that this is the end of something, but nobody knows where the future is going to lead us. And so we can feel a dark cloud above their heads. And so we try to do a film on that moment, to try to capture what's going on there, and on a very intimate level with Brian and also with the kids that hang out around him.
And, you know, you mentioned that the word or the term hillbilly is not very familiar outside of the States. Surely, I definitely agree with that. There's a lot of misconceptions if anyone does know anything about what hillbilly means. What did you guys know about it, though, before you actually even met Brian?
Well, actually, we had not heard the word, because we are very, very familiar with the American culture, but we never heard this word. And it was strange, because when we discovered Brian in 2013, it was still not the focus of in America was not on them. But then there was the Trump election, and there was this book that was out called Hillbilly Elegy, which is a very famous book, which is a bestseller in America and outside America. So we got to understand what it really means by going there for more than 5 years. We went there each year for 2 weeks or a month or 2 months, or even last year we went for 4 months. And so we really got to understand the concept of hillbilly, and at the same time, like, the burden that it represents, because not only are they from the South, but they are also hillbillies. So it adds a cliche to a cliche and to a burden that you have to carry on with your life. So we pretty had a good understanding of the word and the expression, because we lived amongst them. And so we met several people, and we have kind of a portrait of what it is to be a hillbilly nowadays, and to have the perspective of what it was 50, 60 years ago, 100 years ago, and what it was when there was the mining industry, and what it means now to be a hillbilly in a world where there is just no more future for the hillbillies, as Brian says in the film.
So when you embark on a project where you are not totally familiar with the subject, how do you establish a personal connection with it?
So we decided to live with Brian in his trailer, and we decided to be immersed in his family, to play with the kids, to take care of the cattle and stuff like that. And also, we are not American, so it was more easy to interact with people, because we were not concerned about what they are and
yeah, it is true that if we happen to be New Yorkers or people yeah. from Los Angeles or a big city, it would have been way more complicated, because we would have been raised with the cliche of hillbilly, but we went there and we were kind of like a virgin in confrontation with this this word. And so what we did was that we really wanted to be invisible in the film, and it was also an ethical choice, is that we really wanted to blend in and to live amongst us, amongst them, and to be accepted by them. So we conquered each and every one of them slowly, by staying with them, by almost becoming a member of a family. And we had an amazing connection with Brian and with the kids, which is Brian gave us everything, and he gave us his text, he gave us his life, his body, everything. And to have that gift, you have to be respectful and to be dedicated to do something with it. So it was a long term a work that was very important to do every time we were there, and also when we edited, we kept in mind that we had to show them not the best way we could, because we wanted to do our film and to show all kinds of sides of their lives and their personalities.
Yeah, but to be respectful with them.
Yeah.
So how long are we talking about? How long did the project last, the work on this project last?
We met Brian in 2013, and then we interacted with like emails and stuff until we went spent a month in 2015. But the actual shooting of the film really started that summer of 2015, and then until last year. So it was kind of about like we've known him for 7 years, but we actually worked on the film for 4 or 5 years.
Right. And when you say that, you know, I think you used the expression, he gave you your life, and you also used the expression commitment. Were there moments where you felt like perhaps it was challenging for him to open up, or was he always willing to just go along with you?
Well, there were definitely some challenges for him, because like he always was very eager to show him his life and to welcome us into his world, both interior world and exterior world. But the challenges was more that spending so much time in his family and with his friends, we really were witnessing everything that was happening there, and contradictions as well. And we saw the good sides and the darker sides of what it is to live there now. So I think the challenges was more when we spent more and more time and he felt that we knew what was going on, like on a big scale, and not just what he wanted to show us at first. But he was very generous in the way that he always gave us his texts. He gave us the access to his life and to his family life. So he was very respectful of that, and he was more and more participative, because he actually wrote text for the film. We asked him to do that. He was also, he had a recorder to record his poems whenever he felt like it. So he offered her, like the moment where he screams at the beginning, the history of America, that was something that he gave us on purpose for the film. So I think in the end he was very happy, but he's also very shy and very secretive. Like nobody knows in his family that he actually writes poems. He's very a shy person. So when he saw the film, I think he was kind of he felt the pressure of being the
The protagonist.
The protagonist and the representative of his community. But in the end, he was very happy about it and quite proud about the film.
And it was mainly a question of trust between us. So that's the most important.
Yeah.
Guys, earlier you spoke about your initial unfamiliarity with the American Hillbilly community. How did you find the Hillbilly community that you actually filmed greeted you? So were you greeted with some level of skepticism, for example, you know, seen as you were outsiders?
Not really, because we were very, very careful of introducing ourselves. And of the fact that we lived with Brian from the beginning, we came without cameras on. So we were very respectful and we approached some of the shyest persons very slowly and with always asking if they would be okay for us to film. And they were very generous. I mean, they were like, I know this is, it's hard to have this cliche of hillbillies that would be defiant or that would be maybe a closed community. But actually what we've experienced ourselves is being accepted and being welcomed. And it was not such a huge challenge. We just were trying to be human beings amongst human beings and to ask questions and to interest ourselves in how they live. And to, we just were part of their almost family life at some point. We had to work on that to keep a distance so that we could still do the film. But at the same time, we were very, it was a wonderful human experience for us. And we really are very fond of all these people that we met.
So I think that when people talk about communities or people that are categorized by a word like hillbillies, then the concept is also that's very much linked to it is stereotyping. Some of the stereotypes or some of the defining traits of that stereotype, Brian actually mentions within his poetry. There's, I think, a very powerful piece of poetry that he recites. I don't know whether he had written it or he was just improvising it, but he definitely addresses such things as the darker sides that are associated with hillbillies. I think, you know, including the fact that, we are the people who elected Trump in office and just we're racist or whatever, you know, all that stuff. And he says, yeah, all that stuff is true. I don't know whether he means it outright. But what do you guys think of stereotypes? I mean, what is your opinion that you have on stereotyping in general?
I don't know about in general what we've been... Yeah, I think stereotypes is made to have like a simple thing to access something that is not known. And it usually is the tip of the iceberg. And what we think about stereotypes is that it is based on, that's exactly what Brian says, is that it's based as any other cliche. It is based on a part of truth because it's like kind of the essence. The looks, the way of life, the opinions of certain communities. But at the same time, it really is very binary, binary way of thinking because the reality of a stereotype is usually and mostly all the time very much more complex and diverse than what it is, than the image that is representing the cliche. So, when Brian addresses the camera, it was not written. It was a moment where we had a fight with Brian because we, the summer we were there, there was a darker atmosphere and we discovered that it was not just a wonderful place with wonderful humans. It was a place where there were tensions. And of course, the Trump election brought new tensions because suddenly people said, oh, the hillbillies elected Trump. So it was another burden to carry, in addition to the already very heavy burden that they had to carry being a hillbilly. So we told him, well, let's do this. Let's do something for the film about this moment where we are facing a crisis. Just talk to the camera and say what you want to say. And that's when he decided to say, to be very blunt and to say, well, yeah, you know the hillbillies, you know that because you think you know, and we are this and we are that, and it is true, but you don't know the whole thing. Where are we going to go? And so that was a very intelligent way of addressing the cliche. And it is a very high point in our film because, it is rare to have someone that speaks like that, that acknowledges what he is, and at the same time that tried to redefine himself on a bigger scale.
I agree. That's a very powerful moment for sure. So we talked about Brian's poetry, but would you say that your approach to documentary filmmaking, and specifically with this project, I guess, with The Last Hillbilly, would you say that your approach is also poetic?
Well, yeah, definitely. We are very inspired by literature. We are very inspired by poetry because poetry is a form that you can actually inspire. You can be inspired by your poetry by doing a film. There are the novels, which are maybe like more academic films. And then you have poems like films. And this is actually something that we were really wanting to create. It's to create an experience, a fresque that would take us from the beginning of America, the history of violence in America, then go to these little kids, these deers that die. We wanted to create kind of a trip in a way that would be very much inspired by the freedom that you get when you write poetry. You can have rhythmical ruptures, you can change the tone, change the style, and also have this idea that you're going to try to capture something very deep and very, very large by just a glimpse, like a word or a scene or the sound of a music somehow. So yeah, I would say we definitely think that we had a poetic approach for sure.
Yeah.
Were you also drawn to the actual setting and the location of the film, because it is quite a beautiful landscape?
We were very interested in filming the American territory. At the same time, we really wanted to have another approach than the Western or like the CinemaScope and the greatness of nature in America. So we tried to that's why we chose the square format, is that we wanted to deconstruct the myth of America and to film what's left, which is just bits and pieces of nature, a nature that has been completely mutilated. So we wanted to film more like from the mud to the sky, whereas than to shoot horizontally. So we wanted to have something like vertical, that people have their feet buried in the ground there, buried in the mud, and they try to reach for the sky, and they try to connect with the greatness of nature there. So that's why we really wanted to film nature, but in a different way.
And they cannot escape.
So. Yeah, it is a way also of kind of showing a restricted world, a world that has boundaries that you can't cross, symbolic boundaries and geographical boundaries too.
Interesting. So we are running out of time. In fact, we have run out of time. But I'd like to just end it with a final question that was on my mind, particularly as this interview is being recorded on the day where maybe we may know the results of the U.S. election. Actually, not so much in direct reference to the U.S. election, this question is, because 2020 has been an unbelievably intense year between the pandemic, global conflict, and most recently, like I said, the U.S. elections. Where do you think this documentary stands within the context of the times in which it is being released? And do you think that it actually has picked up meanings beyond the ones that perhaps you envisioned when you set out to work on this project?
When we started working on the film, we really had the impression to live in a world that was having more and more fractures and divided persons everywhere, even in France, everywhere. And so, but we started and it was Obama still. So we just, the film is at the same time very much about this moment in time and very much about this area but it speaks like it's also about universal and intemporal. I don't know if it's a word in English, but it has a vision that can what is in the film is very much about what's going on right now. And it is true, the tensions are everywhere, the gaps between the generations, the people from the cities, the people from the country, people from different cultures, different religion. You can feel that there it's a point of rupture, and everybody's kind of feeling that we are just sinking into the darkness. At the same time, it is very actual, and what they are experiencing is experienced by many people elsewhere, because it's about also what the powerful men do, and they take advantage of the poor, and then they leave them with their mouth open, and they're just poor and desperate, and they have nothing left to lose. So very interesting to have our film come out at we started, it was before Trump, and we finish it, and it is still Trump, or maybe not, maybe, and maybe Biden. It'll be Biden. But I really think this film is representative also of what's been going on in America these past years, definitely.
All right, guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank
to you.
You
too. Thank you for having us.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.